Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, October the 16th, 2012. This is hour 164 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and now we hear from Sharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Well, these last few hours with Sharon have been amazing, and if you're listening, hello. And there's some comments from some of the listeners. Should I get right into this, Michael?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know why this thing is going so fast over here. I guess it really doesn't matter. All right. This is about hour 162 that was transcribed. And Ted says, "Hello, Curtis. Wow, that's a lot of work. But I think you're right. It needs to be written. I've listen twice now and keep hearing it differently, so I read the transcription. It is a loaded session. So much to take in, but very clear to me. Once again, I find Michael bringing profound food for thought. Everything he brings is collaborated in the Urantia book." And then he mentions paper 72 in the Urantia book describes a neighboring planet within our system, that also fell to Lucifer twice. Take a look if you like. This may be more like the future we are going toward on this physical planet. Our spiritual future is assured if we pursue the seven circles. I would love to hear you and Michael discuss paper 72. It's loaded with many incredible descriptions of life on that near place. Talk to you soon, Ted. Thank you, Ted. And I'm sorry, I have not read paper 72 as of yet to discuss this, but maybe we should sometime, Michael. I'll get to that. But then Chris says, he says he was talking about Halloween and TV shows and ghosts and very popular right now. And then he says, "I fear that these shows give people a false impression of the afterlife. I know I won't take comfort if my deceased loved ones were still hanging around Earth. I would love to hear Michael's thoughts on the nature of spiritual activity. Thanks, Chris from Liverpool." So, spiritual activity with ghosts and goblins. What do you think of that, Michael?
Well, I asked about that at one time, and the answer was relatively simple, because they try to keep it simple, you know, because of who they're talking to, which happens to be me. You know, it's easier to for me to just, you know, memorize a simple concept. And they related it as our lives are like moving through our dimensional plane. We are developing in our lives much more than what we see in terms of our physical self. We can shake hands, although I found out that Tesla never shook hands. He's deathly afraid of shaking hands. But we can, and we have we physically touch each other, embrace each other. And that's part of being in this world we are right now. However, we can also leave smudges behind, like if we have a glass we see through or a mirror, and we leave our fingerprints all over it. And that's one of the traces that we leave behind. It is a type of image that is left behind, but it's not us. In a similar sense, it was put to me that many times there are a smudge or a recording of us that is left in, it has to be within a certain physical location, and it remains there as a smudge, and it is not the I guess you might say, it's not the actual person. It's just a relic of it or a recording of it. That's the way he put it. Put it to me very simply. It just basically says that it is a smudge of someone's life or something like that. However, when it comes down to actual concepts beyond these smudges that continuously replay events, there is areas in which an individual's consciousness is left behind, sequestered, you might say, within the domain of, let's say, a certain rock, or a lot of times it happens to be in a living organism like a tree. This may be sometimes the source of the concept of trees having souls, and they have more of a storage function rather than a permanency there. And going to the storage function for souls, which are actual and real before being embodied in a new body, physical body, resurrected, you might say. There is a location for souls to be stored. Biblically, they said they showed them under the altar of God. Riley was talking about many of them working on this one project of basically making these spheres, and that would be at the New Jerusalem. Just numerous spheres, quite beautiful. But these also are storages for the soul. And the soul, of course, is morancho, has both spiritual content as well as a physical content. Both of these are mixed and are what gives our consciousness the mobility that is required in order to ascend the dimensional structure of the universe. The dimensional structure of the universe, we can participate in many of them beyond our four-dimensional plane right now through the gifts that are given to us, and we just need to exercise them, and they will become increasingly strong. And these would be like abilities like telepathy, telekinesis, things like those. Those are paranormal, but actually are highly developed as more normal structures that an individual can attain. So anyway, that's the concept of ghosts and goblins. Of course, goblins have their source in the fact that they were real extraterrestrial and tend to have been of the order of the fallen ones. They have a physical being. There was also others who came in terms of helping in giving gifts of agriculture to people here in Hawaii. He gave them the name Menehune. But if you looked at Menehune and leprechauns and these little people, they pretty much match in with our little friends. There were some who were highly telepathic, and in order to see them and not be and not lose the memory of them, you could never make contact with them. That was basically, you might say, eye to eye.
So sometimes these ghosts are captured on film. You've probably yes. seen them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really captured on film, or is that some kind of...
The apparition is the smudge. It's actually a smudge. But there is more liveliness about it. If it is a lost soul, you might say, they have tremendous limits, you know, in terms of the domain in which they are held.
Well, there's and how about these haunted houses, where, my gosh, there's so many videos on YouTube about haunted houses and
right,
and you know, and people who live there, boy, they know they are really haunted. They have more stories to tell than you have time to hear.
Right, those are. Actually, you know, the remnant or trace remnant of a real personality. The personality is sadly left behind here. They did not have to, or did not choose to, make the choice for ascension and miss the boat, you might say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're not guaranteed. No one is, like, who has the capabilities guaranteed ascension. The choice that needs to be made. And it's one of sacrificing one's identity in order to be part of the whole. And that would become essentially the property of the Father Fragment first. The thought adjuster takes us as possession. But we cannot, he cannot take us as possession until we give ourselves to that. When that is not structured, that agreement has not been made, we remain essentially free-willed creatures. But when the body is lost, that's probably a problem for an individual who has partial consciousness. In other words, once you lose your brain mechanism, you lose a lot. Without having that brain mechanism, you cannot think beyond the embossed emotion that are left within the soul plane. And if the soul is not fully developed, having been developed, an agreement between the divine fragment and ourselves, then we will have an incomplete soul, a damaged soul, one that is not. That's the problem with a rebellious, or the rebellion of Lucifer, who did not bring to, who hid this mystery from all sentient beings in order that they may control us better by the few who want that control.
Well, Chris from Liverpool, New York, he also follows up a couple days later and he says, "Hello, Curtis. Wow, last night's podcast was truly amazing. That was hour 162. The Celestials cleared up many things. He even touched on the topic I mentioned when he said some souls are too heavy to lift, like they're glued to earth. Could these souls be the ghosts I was talking about? And if so, is there any way to help them? As always, every answer seems to lead to more questions. That's what makes life so interesting. Again, thanks for everything you and Michael are doing." Signed, Chris. Yeah. So these people that are left here, glued to the earth, will they become ghosts?
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
That's part of the problem?
Yes. The problem being that these who have not been, they can also include little children, but there's a much greater innocence in terms of the little children. But those who have gone through their lives and not made that basically a choice to submit to the divine instructor, the thought adjuster, the divine fragment that is in us, the Christ in us, that is the problem. And they remain isolated, essentially, without having response, basically no response to paradise gravity because of that. Once becoming included in the family of divinity, family of God, through the choice, and there's many ways in which people choose to do that. In circles of religious circles, there's a kind of choice that people make in believing in God and going through an exercise. Some of them using the traditions and teachings within the structure of a church. In Christianity, in some lines of Christianity, there's an actual choice and a prayer called the Sinner's Prayer that is made. And this format is one which you actually consciously submit to and willingly yield our will to divinity. While in that yielding of our will to divinity, we really attain all this extra dimension. And that extra dimension is really a lot of life, a lot of fullness, because it brings us toward true responsiveness to paradise gravity, which makes us very easy to live and also to spot. And that can be attained in many ways, yet the way in which it was set up by Christ was, if you believe in God, believe also in me concept. So it was a wonderful thing that our planet had the unique, within this universe, the unique privilege of having the Creator Son, the Creator of our universe, actually become a mortal here on our planet and set up a method unique to other neighboring planets who do not necessarily have that same privilege. Yet the divine fractal remains a part of all the sentient planetary governments within the system we are in right now, as well as our own larger constellation, as well as the overall universe of Christ, Michael, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, so many things rush through my mind, I don't know where to go, but I can read what Tony said. He says, don't worry, Kathleen's question was a good one on the higher mind. In any case, it sounds like it's God or Christ consciousness. In other words, I still would like more details on ascending this thought, or ascending this through. A lot of people struggle with this kind of stuff because it simply doesn't fit in with their worldview. The mainstream media mocks anyone who believes in UFOs and aliens, despite the big body of evidence in support of it now, and even some governments. Then on top of this, we have Michael channeling the elders, and many people are skeptical of any channelers. Some channelers are fake, in my opinion, and given the quality of the information coming through, I trust this is absolutely genuine. Best regards, Tony. Thank you, Tony. And I'll read a bit of Kathleen's letter. She wrote me a long letter. Hi, Curtis and Michael. Hope you are all doing well. Curtis, it has been so enjoyable to listen to the last few shows because of the rapport that has developed between you and the Celestials. Even in the midst of all the seriousness, the conversation can bring a smile to my lips. Thank you and Michael for this connection with our universe family. It is priceless. On your last show, when the Celestials described the process that was used in warning us, it was a confirmation to me in the process that I went through. And then Kathleen describes her moving to Kansas from the state she was in. I believe she was maybe in Georgia, or I'm not sure, in that area. And she talks about, she's talking about this. Well, I guess I should just read this thing. My first warning came in early 2009. A friend and I were having a conversation on what our plans were in case of an economic meltdown, and she made an offhand comment. I guess you're planning to go down with the ship. This comment sent a charge of awareness through me that I took to be a heads up. I began to start considering all options. Next, in the fall of 2009, shortly after finding the Michael connection, I had two dreams within a short period of time. In the first one, I was walking through my neighborhood, which lay in piles of rubble. And in the second dream, I was at home and was looking at the horizon, which was filled with rolling black clouds. I felt a sinking, frightening feeling and was thinking I was warned. Why didn't I listen? I then woke up in a cold sweat. These dreams caused me to look into Earth's changes more seriously and to consider moving to a different locale. I also began to feel a deep uneasiness that I can now see was my thought adjuster prodding me on. It was in the fall of 2010 when my husband and I made the decision to move. It was a tough decision to leave our home of over 30 years and our family and friends. Even the financial hit was a hard one, but with each effort we put forth, our way became clearer. We are now living in the middle of Kentucky and are trying to live as disconnected from the system as possible. I no longer feel a deep uneasiness, and I feel that we are where we should be. I believe that by taking all these warnings seriously and then taking action in response to them, I was aligning myself with the Celestial's realm. And now that time grows short, and tremendous upheavals and changes on our doorstep. I feel it is essential that we quickly act upon the Celestial's warning and listen closely to our inner guidance. I have to move this a little bit. Perhaps not only to be safe, but to be where we are needed. Love and joy, Kathleen. Well, thank you, Kathleen. Yeah, Michael, people are concerned. I'm concerned about this, the end of the year, and I'm going through some steps to try and leave here for a couple of weeks. See what's here when we get back. Maybe the exact same thing. Maybe we'll have a damaged house. But from what Sharon had to say, even with the earth shaking, it sounds like that. Who knows how violent that's going to be? But this morning was so beautiful. The sky was beautiful blue, and the sun was hitting the trees across the river. It was just gorgeous. And to imagine that there's going to be chaos in around the 21st of December is still hard to see that it's coming.
Yeah, it will be, I guess. What I received a vision yesterday, but before I speak about it, I also received a vision a while back, a couple of years back. And it basically showed the quilt pattern, from looking from high altitude down at ag land, agricultural plots of land that were all golden color, dried out. And zoomed in and it showed dirt dried out. And zoomed back out. It seemed to show drought and failed crops. That has come to pass. And I received this other vision, which showed the time where there'll be some flooding, or not destructive flooding, but flooding. And as the flood, which could be normal type flooding, like because the instead of looking down at when you look down on from an airplane down on agricultural plots, they have typical rectangular shapes and things like that. Except when I went to Cambodia, I noticed they had all kinds of shapes that followed the lay of the land for their rice fields. And then over on the Thailand border, it became exactly rectangular. It was very interesting to have seen the change right at the borderline. In any case, one being very, very natural, following the order of things, others being mechanized and forming rice crops being perfectly rectangular fields or paddies, rice paddies. What I was shown instead was a field which I would say would look like perhaps flooded fields. When I think of flooded fields, I think of rice paddies. We also have taro fields here. But what was interesting was as I zoomed in and I zoomed down to the ground level, I looked at the material, the dirt. It was dirt. Came back up and looked. And then there was the sprouting. There was a lot of sprouting of green, new crops coming out. So whatever is showing ahead of us, it looks good. It looks like we don't have completely devastated fields. Instead, we have fields that are functional and our agriculture will be in place in many areas. And those who have made moves, one of the things that the celestials will require are the numerous human beings who have chosen the ascension process. It's not an ascension. It's not like Christianity looks at one term to say are saved. In other words, you're either on one side of a humanity or unsaved, or you're on the other side, which is saved. But it's an entire process of serving and a willing. There's indeed a one side of it would be one would be self-serving, and the other side would be serving divinity and the higher process of government and all of those things. The change will have to be made so that our planet can take the higher road, which would be toward the, using the tools of celestial governance. I believe that it has been placed in the planet so many times, in so many places, in terms of how we are as a society created and enlightened in so many sense, so many ways. But what has happened is the immediate problem of survival and the use and tools of survival have changed so drastically that it has become a completely artificial method of worship and attunement. And that attunement would be toward the financial system. And it is failing right now. So in that sense, it is a good thing, because although a financial system will be necessary, it cannot retain its same form of enslavement and debt, indebtedness. It just needs to provide mobility. And this mobility will be able to allow for the movement of products throughout our planet in the future, but without the kind of indebtedness that the enslavement of finance presently gives. Concepts of reserves of wealth in terms of using gold or silver as currencies will fade away, will not be necessary. The governments, the way in which the planet will become governed will be different from that which is described as planetary government in a neighboring planet, as described in the Urantia book. It will be one in which has even a more and more divine structure, one in which is greatly attuned toward the benefit of the entire consciousness of the universe, believe it or not. When things do not enslave one to the needs for society's technology that supposedly liberates us from the toil of life, we will not necessarily need to trade one toil for another one. Let's say the toil of hardship of making life for ourselves in terms of food, shelter, and clothing, way down on the hierarchy of need. These levels will be cleared out very quickly so that the higher levels of our progress inward toward divinity attainment will be the primary understood goal of humanity. And when that happens, the entire planetary consciousness will shift. Although it has been introduced by these very same elders, the Sharuns, who were functional during the time of Buddha's development of that level of consciousness, and through other forms of religion, they tried to instill that. But what always came into the play and into the way was that people would choose the tangible versus the what would seem to be the intangible. And the tangible would always take the form of money, silver and gold, which could be translated into real need, fulfilling assets, whether it be food, shelter, clothing, or other things. These things will be seemingly unimportant because everyone will have that fulfilled. And this becomes a real problem on those that are trying to rule the planet by enslavement, through financial enslavement and other forms of enslavement. Will industry cease? Not really. The industry will take a different form. Truly wonderful enterprises will find fame because of the good in which they do, not how much they can spend on advertising.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have an MP3, an audio, a question from Jim in Pennsylvania to Sharon.
Let me call upon Sharon.
All right, thank you.
Before I call upon Sharon, I would like to explain to you the methodology. First of all, when I said about our will, we must set our will aside and let a divinity, fractal, essentially be our partner. If we retain our will, we do not make progress in even to the first circle. We essentially revolve around there, never being happy, fulfilling, you know, all our physical needs and making that outer circle, number 7 and 6, so out there in terms of socialization, intelligence, development, and physical need and all of that stuff. But once we desire to attain even higher understanding, we need to realize that what is more important is to allow ourselves to be invaded by the divinity that is already in us. Let him take control. Curtis, when a baby is born, what happens to the baby to signal that it's awakening? Does it just lay there?
No, it takes a breath and starts to scream.
Ah, the voice is one of the most basic of all gifts of our life. And who instructs the baby to do that? The baby.
To scream, right? Or to cry?
Yeah, it's all essentially instinctive and part of the baby's reaction to the reality of being once very a cozy spot, going through the birthing process, and then, of course, realizing it's...
And now it's the breathing process.
Yeah, a whole different ballgame is taking place. All of that is important as a function. But I just wanted to make the point about the most primal, basic thing was vocalization. When a person truly is in harmony with the divine fractal, our primal communications source, language, is turned over to them. The language centers of our mind are very basic, and it is one of the most important signs that the spirit of God, the divinity fractal, as well as whatever other names you want to give, the father fragment, begins to take over, and it releases language of its own order, a language that is understood through, to, and it is also from this divine fragment. And it only comes about because we are aligned to give it up to. So from the baby taking this basic, very important function in terms of being a living being, now turns around as we come to a point where we give it up, and in its place we receive a higher cry, you might say, language. And there have been many people who have attained it in other ways. When I came over, Curtis, I laid my hand upon you and Marcy, and you both received this language at a different level, perhaps at a baby level. It needs to be expressed freely by leaving yourself open to higher commune. And you'll find it enriching. But laid upon that foundation would be even higher understandings, ones that come in terms of being able to interface with our mind, our brain, our language understanding. Then other factors get laid over that. All of these things are higher sensory abilities are structured, but it sort of starts with the basic cry. And as I said, it is one in which way of dialing up on the celestials, who you have contact with, and also making it pass many times the interference of many of those who have a deep desire to see us not succeed, because our planet still is in warfare. We still are functioning in a warfare, but on a spiritual level, much more than a physical level. So, as I'll speak right now in the celestial language, it'd be more important for you to understand that that is not something unique to me or my experience, but many, many people on this planet, whether they have been Christians or Buddhists or whatever, have received this gift. And even those of celestial or explorers into truth seekers into exploring many of these find themselves at one time having come so close to the submission toward the divinity fragment that they wake up in the morning speaking this divine language. Let me begin. Arahon va shadrun dar ke susuka saste helaro ke hara rama sukun je sharie. Ti haro kar sorom di halala khasa shira u nandari ke asasu ke shuk tata sara. Nara i hala namo sukuto nandar ke asi. Yes, I am here. I am
Hello, Sharon. Always a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for coming on the recording with Michael. We have a Jim from Pennsylvania who has a question for you. I'm going to slide this into the recorder and play it for you, but let me stop this for a second. All right, and here he is. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh. North Wales, Pennsylvania. Kwa Omsa Lajiwan, Sharun, Michael, and Curtis. On last week's show, Sharun said that the majority of those taken in the lift would be non-corporeal, without bodies. Does this mean that their bodies are to be killed in something like a global catastrophe? If so, why collect the souls? Why not just let nature take its course and let the souls go to where they would normally go? Also, how will these souls' new lives differ from those who have bodies when they are airlifted? Thank you.
All right, thank you. I hope you heard that, Sharon. It was rather low, but could you hear that, Sharon?
Not at all.
Oh, not at all?
Not at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, to paraphrase, he said, when this airlift happens and the souls are taken from the bodies, why not just leave the bodies here to die themselves instead of being taken? I guess I should have written down what he wrote, but well, that was the first try of playing an MP3. But I'm sorry, that's what happens here on this planet, Sharon. We have technical problems, and it's not as easy as telepathy. But he was asking about the souls being left here and the souls being taken and leaving the souls behind with the bodies. So I'm sorry that didn't work very well. But I have another question for you that has been asked. Let's see, here's a question for Michael and the Celestials. Dear Curtis and Michael, I've heard many things about the coming times, including that there will be a second coming of us. Very spiritual individual, such as for a magisterial mansion or world teacher or Jesus reincarnated, and also of Christ consciousness for many people. Any truth to these? And then he follows that up by saying, can the Celestials enlighten us if there is to be a very spiritual enlightened person coming to try to help us, to help ourselves? Is this person incarnate already? If so, will they live a period as a son of man prior to becoming son of God, so to speak? And that's from Tony. He says, many thanks for the fascinating show and great insights.
Your planet is not followed the normal progress of magisterial mission. You have a great privilege of a new and divine order or method that has been made. It does not follow the normal route, because not only of the rebellion of Lucifer and your lost way in terms of your purpose in life, but also in the method by which the Creator's Son will develop civilization throughout his universe. The development of civilization in terms of your universe, our universe, will take a new hold when he comes forward. And yes, he will, but not in the way you think of him as a leader of peoples. You see, you are not alone. Greater liberty will be given to you, you human beings, who have chosen to align yourselves with your thought adjuster. your divine fragment. This is the true governance that will raise your civilization to a higher extent. There is tremendous desire to move your planetary ideals by methods that were used by Lucifer. If I were to simplify them, it would come down to basically a word: lying. I'll repeat that word: lying. You understand what I'm saying, Curtis?
Yes, I do. To be honest and tell the truth is the only way to speak.
But your planet has become very sophisticated in the way in which that definition is perverted. Lying is a way that is being used to a great extent to cover up, to divert, to manipulate, to falsely guide, to give the impression that is desired for the purpose that is not divine. But the divine fractal does not work that way. Divinity does not work that way. Unified consciousness does not work that way. It was said by the ancients, the holy men who transcribed the words of the same Creator Son, that he would write those ways into your heart, on the living tables of your heart, not on stone or tablets. Such laws and methodologies of structures of government were in the works for a long time. But the greatest perversion of that has been the techniques of lying. Well, and diverting choice. Go ahead.
Well, Sharon, that's interesting you should bring up this about lying and how we are deceiving ourselves in our communication. Because this Keith from Martinsburg, West Virginia, he writes, he says, "Hello, Curtis. For your 9/11 session or any other subsequent one, at Michael's suggestion, I'd like to ask a question of the celestials. As we go about doing what we can to serve and assist our less fortunate fellows, what ought our attitude be toward the promoters of greed and violence in our national political life? Should we ignore them, simply concentrate on the Urantia Book's words concerning keeping the faith in all things working together for good over the long term? Is it also proper to be expectant concerning the Urantia Book's promise that we are nearing an age of spiritual enlightenment, where our sincere energies most effectively concentrated? I'm sorry, where are our sincere energies most effectively concentrated?" He signs thanks from Keith from West Virginia.
Well, Keith, we are moving to engage your planet in higher consciousness, because many of your planet have realized the fallacy in which it is run. They don't know what to do except to complain. This is the first level that must be penetrated. After that level comes an openness to hear the answer. This is when our teacher sons will appear. Your openness to hear makes you a receiver of truth. As you receive the truth, it will be embedded and recorded in
Oh, Michael, I think I lost my internet connection. Oh, it looks like it's back on, but I don't hear you. I'm sorry, Sharon, we're having more technical trouble. Hello, Michael?
Hello.
Hello, Michael.
This is Sharon.
Hello, Sharon. Well, we lost you there for about 15 seconds, maybe. Maybe my connection on the internet gave out, but...
Let me repeat.
Thank you. Thank you. Please do.
The coming of the magisterial son, the one who is looked forward to, does indeed have a name. For you, it will be Jesus Christ. It will be understood by so many of this planet today. It will become common knowledge that he shall return. But he shall not rule planet Earth. He will rule in your heart and minds. Do you understand? He will be able to function because we will show ourselves. We are already making motion through many different techniques because we require many techniques because much of our technology, our ships, are not visible in their pattern and use by you. But we will perforate the clouds. We will create clouds. We will make many things visible in the sky. Your understanding throughout will see these things. And when you see them throughout your planet, you will understand that there is much going on in the heavens. We will try our best to attract your attention away from your domain on Earth to one that there is a greater planetary system, government, universe out there, and that you are not alone, but indeed filled with citizens of the universe. Presently, there are many visitors from far sections, not only of Satania's fallen government, which is, of course, retrieved, but the Reshadek, as well as Nebadon, far-reaching celestial individuals coming to see this great event believe it or not, it is as a small spectacular event in our universe. Because the adoption of your planet back to us and to see the arrangement already made. There are many who have been trained. They have been trained in celestial governance, of course. They live in it. But many of those you call aliens, are trained in culture and civilization of the human race. Because they will interface with you. They need to understand you. Otherwise, they could become clumsy. They will be there and will be offering many ways in which to elevate your planet. And your planet will be elevated, not only technologically, but because of this great spiritual awakening, which starts at the realization of the fact that all about heaven has been true. And that you will be adopted back. Along with this will come many teachers. As I say, they have been educated, and these are not the teachers of the Trinity Sons. These are, you might say, assistants, and there will be many. But the ones who have attuned themselves, you humans who have attuned yourselves, you will become the most precious of all teachers, as it has always been. You will have celestial consciousness above your brethren. And you right now know your purpose in life is not to attain riches, is not to attain other kinds of power over other human beings, but a kind of service so full of the divinity that is already in you, and you will be imparted as much as you can bear to make your service known to others. Sometimes it would only be a little word. Other times it would be a deed. But you will make your way known. It will become, and we will assist. And as I said, there are many who are coming a very long way to participate in this grand awakening. Although the rescue has not been declared yet, the turning of the age will happen. Whether we rescue or not, this is a matter that has not been yet declared. There will be a soul lift, yes. The physical lift has not yet been declared. There has been great work presently in shielding your planet from devastation, as it has happened in the past many times under Lucifer's guidance and desire to play with life, to experiment with it. But his last maneuver to enslave the divine sons is wrong. We want to lift you completely out of the disillusion or the illusion, and that you would understand true life is in service. To partner yourselves with the divine. This is my statement. I hope I have answered many questions together in these statements.
Yes, I believe you have, Sharon. It's beautiful what you say about this grand awakening, and the turning of the age will happen. And it's wonderful to hear that you say that the physical lift may not even happen, but the soul lift, yes, that will occur. And that is wonderful for all of us to hear, because we have created our souls. And I feel very special that you think we are so delicate a being to create something that you can't create, or you said would be too difficult. So that's really amazing. So you're going to adopt our planet back. And this is going to happen rather soon?
Yes. That has been well known. And the time was known. The ages were cut forward, and they proceeded accordingly. It is just that you have come to an end of this age. Which marks our time for our next move. As I said, you are not look upon us as gods, which is wrong. We never desired your worship. We only wanted you to attain the understanding, not to worship us, but to have worship of the first source and center, the divine. And now, of course, which has started a while back, the partnership between yourselves and the divinity within you. And many will make their structure only in the last part of their lives. Those who make it through their entire life, waltzing with the divine.
Did you say waltzing?
Yes.
With the divine, as though we're dancing with the divine, Sharon?
Can you imagine that? I shared this with Michael in his desire to make a relationship between the divine fragment and yourselves more understandable. We use this in early teachings that may seem to be apparent in society or tradition. Waltzing with the divine. When you divinely waltz, your partner is God, is the first source and center. Don't step on his toes too often.
Oh, well, that's cute, Sharon. Yes. Well, dancing is really a harmonic thing we do. And it is almost like telepathy, in a way, with our bodies. But you've said it once again, some beautiful things. I liked when you said much is going on in the heaven, in the heavens. So out near Saturn, is that what we call the heavens?
You could call it a part of it. It is only one part. Mm-hmm. It is real. You know it is. Yet it contains all the flavors of heaven. And also many of the personalities of heaven.
Well, Sharon, here on Earth, since I'll say the last 200 or 300 years, we've been able to look into the heavens with high-powered glasses, or we call them telescopes, and we see them as a little speck in the sky. And it would be wonderful if we could bring our cameras to that speck in the sky and bring back images of what heaven looks like up close without telescopes. Maybe we can do that someday, Sharon.
Yet better yet, what I was saying is many of those things will be brought to Earth because you will not worship them. They will liberate you, but those things are functioning already.
That's beautiful.
Then you would say, why should I take a picture of heaven? We have it here already. That is what the adoption is all about.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. That's beautiful. Bringing heaven to earth.
I leave you now. Farewell.
Farewell, Sharon. Talk with you again. Hello, Michael. I heard you. Hope you heard that.
Yeah, some of it. Sometimes I'm not around. Yeah. Well, anyway, I think I got it. Is this one of the things about trying to be pure about the communique? It happens with practice, but right now even that isn't fully developed, so there's limits to what can be conveyed.
I see. Well, thank you. Let's try and say aloha to the. This was another beautiful hour with you and Sharon. Thank you. And I'm sorry to Jim for your question. I should have written it down so I could have read it. But I could hear it. I thought everyone else could hear it, but I'm sorry you couldn't hear it, Michael. Okay, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha, Michael. Aloha.